Well, it was hard for me to come up with a title for the sermon because there were so many good things in this piece of Paul's letter to the church in Colossus. But I had to say that clothe yourself in love, to me, exemplifies the Christmas spirit best of all. We seek to love our neighbor as God has loved us. We seek to give to people we care about gifts, good gifts, as God gives good gifts to us. We seek to be to each other the kind of loving, caring parents, family, friends that exemplifies the idea of a Christian family, a Christian community, a community living in, clothed with, wrapped up in the love of Christ. We are in the world so often wrapped up in other things. We have physical needs which take our attention. We have to struggle to make a living. We have to work. We have to take care of business. We have to patch roofs and take care of other things. The world has many, many demands upon our time, upon our attention. There are many things we need to do, many people we need to see, some of whom are perhaps less loving and lovable than others. And yet God has given us a love beyond anything we can understand, a love beyond any limitations that we can conceive of. And He asks us to share that. I was talking with someone this morning about a phone call that I got on Christmas Day about 3 or 4 years ago now from a woman that I had gone to school with. She was in a master's program at Florida State. She was from Indonesia. And I was the only person she knew who had a pickup truck. So when it came time for her to move out of the dorm and into her own apartment, she asked me very nicely if I could help her. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. What do we need to do? And she said, if you just meet me at the apartment, I need to go over there and look at it, make sure it's ready for me to move into, and then I need to go get some used furniture. I don't need much. I already have some things, and we can move them in, and then we can go get a few more odds and ends. And, you know, I was glad to do it. I was impressed, honored, really, that she would ask me, that she felt that comfortable. And in our going back and forth to the apartment, going back and forth to pick up some used furniture, of course, the subject of religion came up. She was not a Christian. In fact, at the time, the person who was in the news was Saddam Hussein, and she was telling me how much she admired his willingness to stand up to American might and power. Well, that didn't sit too well with me, but I tried not to be critical. I just tried to explain to her how I was a Christian, what it meant to me, how I, you know, believed that we needed to love each other the way God loved us, and what Christ meant to me, and how He had died for us, and how that had changed my life. And we were friends. She came to my graduation party. We weren't real close, but, you know, we spoke. We smiled at each other. We were just acquaintances. I never really had much conversation with her after that. But then years later, on Christmas Day, my phone rang. And I had a long-distance call from Indonesia. And I picked up the phone, and this voice that I remembered, and I have to admit, I didn't even remember her name, said to me, I'm a Christian now. And I wanted to call you and tell you that the kindness you showed me and the words you said to me that day when we were moving furniture changed my life. I was stunned. I really didn't remember that much of the conversation. I don't know what it was that touched her, except that I know that that day God spoke to me, not to me, but through me, in a way that she needed to hear, with words that she needed to have touch her life, in a way that gave her the opportunity to know the love of God, not through some lecture, not through some sermon, but just from an expression of friendship. We take these things so much for granted, and yet God walks with us, talks with us, talks through us, shows Himself in us if we will but wrap ourselves in His love, fill ourselves with His words, show in ourselves the love that He has for us in showing love for others, especially when they're not so lovable. Who else have I touched? I don't know. I teach, I serve, I try and help people who struggle with their addictions. Once in a great while, I'll have someone come back to the program where I work and say, "You made a difference in my life." It's an almost overwhelming experience to have that happen, because I'm not doing it for the reward. I'm doing it because there's a need. If we give in order to get something back, then we've already received our reward. If we really believe that we are rewarded in heaven, then we give without wanting anything back, knowing that the reward will be there later, not being worried about whether we're going to get a present from the person we give a present to, not worried about whether they will help us when we're in need, as we are helping them when they're in need. I don't expect to ever be in Indonesia or need to move or need somebody with a pickup truck or, you know. We never know the power that our words have in other people's lives. We never know the power that our actions have in other people's lives. And it goes the other way, too. When we do things that aren't very loving, aren't very Christian, aren't very honest, aren't very caring, people see that, see us, and go, "If that's Christian, I don't want to be one." I hope to be the kind of Christian, the kind of person who other people see and say, "I want to be like that. I feel the love of Christ in that person," not someone who says, "I don't want to be one." That scares me. That scares me horribly, that I might turn someone away with my inability to speak, my inability to show His love, my inability to be open in my heart to somebody who's different or difficult. No, I'm not perfect. I'm sure I've said the wrong thing many times. I'm sure I've done the wrong thing many times. We all have. We all do. We all will. But if I can wrap myself in His love, then perhaps His words will be what people hear in me, not the humanity that's all too frail and all too fallible. We are in the Christmas season. The 12 days of Christmas were celebrated by cultures in the olden times. We have a song about the 12 days of Christmas, "My True Love Gave to Me." We've fallen away from that because the Christmas season seems to come before Christmas, when all the stores and all the advertisers are talking about what they want to sell you to give to other people. And there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. But then Christmas is over and the commercial folks are ready to move on to the New Year sales. And if we're still living in love, we're waiting for the three kings. This is a season of listening for that return of the blessing that says, "I saw the light in the sky. I saw the star of Christ. I knew that something wonderful had happened." Do people see those stars in your eyes? Do they hear the call of the angels singing, "A Christ child is born into the world"? Do they see the love of God in us? I hope so, because I know how much it means to me to be in Him, to have His love in me, to be able to share that love, to be blessed by Him, to have His words come to me, to speak to you, to speak to those out there. I want other people to see Him in me, to hear Him through me, to know Him because I know Him. And it means everything to me. And so Paul says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.